There are 9 AM FM affiliates in New Zealand that currently pick up the show. Ifinity FM Network, Rush FM Network, and Dagsy FM up in Whangarei. So you can listen to this on the radio dials in certain parts of the country. You know what really ticks me off, though, ladies and gentlemen? There still has not been a single radio broadcaster in Auckland, low power FM or otherwise, who has the guts to play this show. Don't you find that really annoying? You know, this is where I am, this is where I'm broadcasting from, and the only people who really got the guts to do it are people who ain't anywhere near me.
A prophet is never appreciated in his hometown.
Yeah, it's about right, isn't it? You know, but
tell it to James Joyce.
I do love this city, but the fact of the matter is, there's awful lots of people here, right? It's the biggest city in the country, bro. And yet I don't see a whole lot of choice out there in terms of things to listen to or things to do along this vein of thing. I mean, I just wanted to give a quick plug as well to another Aucklander who's a good friend of mine, Jonathan Eisen, and his wife, Catherine Smith, who do these magazines, the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine and Uncensored. The new issues are out now, so you can get those in selected stockists as well as order copies at uncensored.co.nz and naturalmedicine.net.nz. And there's incredible articles and collations on there. The most recent one is talking about all of the inside jobs, okay? You know, from 9/11, Oklahoma City, the alleged Batman shooting and Sandy Hook and all of these other things, and putting them all together and showing the evidence. Now, moving on from that, this feeling I get about, you know, the world is just like, it's a terrible place. You know, it's really unfair, it's really nasty. But at the same time, I try to avoid all of those nasty people. And it's something Thomas Sheridan told me about psychopaths, is that if you find out that somebody's a psychopath or a lying, cheating piece of trash, don't go out after the psycho, because you can't out-psychopath a psychopath, can you? You know, if you're going to try and bring him to justice or anything like that, all you're going to wind up doing is having your life destroyed by this piece of trash. So what you do then is you make a priority list. Okay, what's my priority? Cool people, nice people, decent people. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're surrounded by the cool, nice, and decent people who you can actually learn something off, who would actually help you when you're down rather than kick you while you're down. Anybody else got a problem with that? I don't. You know, I don't have time for douchebags, really.
I know, but you know what? This is one of those things where if you've unless you came into this world with really good boundaries, this is the thing I've been thinking about, is because I've been going through, I've gone through this process in the last, since I wrote my book in the year or two leading up to writing my book, of really doing that, of drawing these lines and saying this, you know, this is what I want in my life and this is what I won't tolerate in my life. And I realized that up until that point, I had set really weird, not very good for myself boundaries, and having to retrain friends and loved ones and neighbors and, you know, the world to honor, and yourself to honor and only accept certain boundaries is a, you know, I guess the longer you take to do it, the longer a process it is. And I've been actually just starting to feel the benefits of some of the people, because ultimately I think everyone actually appreciates good boundaries. I like to know, like, if there's someone whose boundaries are here, I like to know it, you know, because, you know, if you and me were, you know, if there was some place in this show where you were like, you're talking too much, dude, or whatever, you know, that's a good boundary. Or you're talking too loud. That's about a good boundary, because otherwise I end up sounding too loud and talking too much and then being, you know, thinking I'm the perpetrator of scumbaggery after the fact, you know. And I think I say good fences make good neighbors. I'm not sure I entirely agree with that, but I do agree that, you know, knowing what, you know, what you'll put up with and what you won't put up with is key.
Somebody asked me what a good friend is, and I said a good friend is somebody who, when you're really feeling down, they'll bring you back up, and when you're getting too far ahead of yourself, they bring you right down again.
you know, for me, a friend is someone who stands by you when everyone else isn't, you know, or when someone who knows how to get inside when you're, you know, when it feels like they're, you know, the world's turning on you, you know, so, and those people are precious. And then often few in number, very few in number.
Learning how to
still love and forgive the people who didn't, while also recognizing that you can only count on them so far, is one of those keys to graceful living, right?
Yeah.
That is not an easy one to learn for, you know, the prideful among us, but necessary. You're totally necessary.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's about quality over quantity, you know. I mean, just like, I remember back in high school, I'm not sure if you had a similar experience to me, but I was hanging out with lots and lots of different people all the time, and these people weren't my friends, though. They were just acquaintances. And I'm not friends to this day with a single fracking one of them. Here's your choice. You're either alone, totally by yourself, or you're hanging out with people who aren't really your friends. You know, I'd rather just hang out with people who aren't really my friends rather than be totally alone and miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other option is once you get out of high school, because frack, mate, I mean, if there is a complete example which everybody can get on board with of trauma-based mind control, public schooling.
Oh, yeah.
Once you get out of there, then you start to realize, oh my God, I'm an adult and I can actually choose who I hang with and what I do. And suddenly, all of these other people that don't really value you, and you realize, oh my God, I don't really value them either. You start to think about this a little bit better and try to look for those who are quality. I mean, when I pick out mates, bro, I try to look for somebody who's better than me at something. All my mates are better than me at something. And that's why they're my mates. If they were worse at me than at everything, they wouldn't be my friend. Because I'd have nothing to
do with it. Is there anyone in the world who's worse at you than everything?
I don't know. I mean, there are so many things
that I'm bad at that I don't even care about. You know, like, you could be really great at, like, you know, some horrific stuff that I don't even want to know about, you know, or I have a friend who's a doctor. He's also a musician. He's one of the most interesting guys I know. But when he starts talking about the thing that he has the most intelligence about, because it's so off the charts for me, I'm kind of when he's talking about ratios in terms of anesthesia, that is out of his expertise. I'm like, I can tell that it's brilliant, but that's all he talked about. If you weren't a musician and an otherwise cool guy, there would be no foundation for friendship, even though he's way better at anesthetizing somebody than I am. I don't know. There are some people who've seen some of my live shows that might disagree, but you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, and another thing, I never keep any of my thoughts or my recollections or my observations set in stone, you know? Like, I'll say, oh, my friends had to be better than me or something, but, you know, it's just not necessarily true. And I can adjust and change that as time goes on. And that's another thing that I really don't like about particular people is when not only will they never admit that they're wrong, but they're not even prepared to entertain any possibility that they might be wrong about something. That just drives me nuts. You know, it's like, you know everything already. Oh, goodness. How old are you? Oh, I'm 32. Man, you're 32 years and you learned everything in the entire freaking universe and you could never be wrong about anything else. How brilliant.
Yeah. Although, I have to say, my tolerance for that, since I became a bartender, my tolerance for that has necessarily had to rise. You know, everyone on the other side of the bar thinks they know everything. And that's, you know, that's
dude, when you're dealing with drunk people, your tolerance for everything has to rise. I mean, your tolerance to being punched in the face for no reason has to rise.
Luckily, I haven't, you know, actually, I wrote, that's actually a chapter from my book. I got punched by a very tall model, a woman, very tall, and she clocked me really hard, and in a way that told me that she was not averse to a world in which people got punched in the face, which was really, I don't know.
I once pulled security at Subway, bro, and I got beaten up by two girls and their boyfriends at the same time.
That sucks. Ganging up on anyone. I just think the whole gang up factor, it's one of the, you know, sort of themes that runs through What Happened to Me at Chaos. And it's, you know, and a lot of the work that I, you know, just a lot of, and I just like the whole bullying, ganging up thing is, it's the thing that makes me the angry. Like when I see it played out in movies or something like that, it's the thing that gets me the angriest.
It makes me look at human beings like pack animals, you know, like they're all ripping up on you, rip shreds out of you like a pack of wolves trying to satisfy their hungry bellies. It's disgusting.
Hey, you know what? I want to do something. So I started, I'm trying to change the subject a little bit here. I started the Lifehouse Matrix when we started this episode. So we're about a minute, an hour and 32 minutes into it. And you were talking about the music that plays during that scene. And I want to show you how the Lifehouse Matrix plays out with that. So it's totally different. Now, this is the Who's music underneath this. And people who are watching this can see this.
Are you able to turn the sound up on it? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to turn the sound up right now.
How's it going?
So we're going to come up on that scene in a second. And so in this we have the agent asking who he is, interrogating him.
Well, he's explaining how the Matrix is supposed to originally be the perfect human world and how it really works and that kind of thing, eh? And they're trying to rescue him.
It's great that this film is so iconic that without the sound at all, you were just while looking at that one scene, you knew exactly what's going on. It's one of the
I've seen it a number of times. Yeah. Well, see, the bit with the fight scene is a while away from this, man. This is just like a couple of minutes so far. And also, just bear in mind, we've got the listening radio audience here who can't see what we're seeing just yet. I mean, this will be on the YouTube channel afterwards. And it's the scene where basically Neo remembers what the Oracle told him about that he would have to make a choice about whether or not Morpheus lives or dies. And I think what's interesting is that you think about this. Just from like a protester or activist type of thing, is that people actually really do have a choice about whether or not other people live or die in a lot of cases. You know, what are you willing to fight for? What are you willing, more importantly, to sacrifice yourself for? Is it somebody who you believe in, or is it something that you believe in? What is it about being, I don't know, about sacrifice, essentially, that makes you a better person, knowing that there is something better than yourself out there that you're quite willing to just say, hey, look, you know, my life is insignificant by comparison, and I'm willing to lay it on the line to save somebody's life or to prevent something really bad from happening. And it occurs to me there was this... The logic dictates, you know, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And it's a collectivist mentality, isn't it? If you are the one deciding to sacrifice somebody else for the needs of the many, that's collectivism. But if you decide that you're going to give up yourself in order for the needs of the many, I think that there's nothing particularly wrong with that, right? But it just depends, because so many people don't really care, I don't think, like, enough about others or about a particular topic in order to sacrifice their time getting into it. Now, unfortunately, we're coming to break now, Andras, and we'll be right back.
Okay, well, we'll keep. I'm just going to keep running it real time here. And I love listening to you talk about it. Well, if people can watch it on the video, that's great. I hope you were able to hear the music. That was a really great sync take on what Lifehouse Matrix is about. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, just pop that back on there, and we'll keep recording the video side of it, and we'll pop that up on the YouTube for people, and we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few minutes at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You listen to American Freedom Radio.